Hi, this is Rick Emerson, and the following encore of The Rick Emerson Show is brought to you by Squires Electric. Whether it's electrical wiring, Ethernet wiring, or wiring of any kind at all in your home or business, Squires Electric can make your life easier. Find out more at squireselectric.com or call 503-252-1609. Squires Electric.
I don't know what you think you could do here, Stephen.
John, good to see you.
You see, the wife still picks your tie.
What has this kid been telling you?
How far has he gone?
The president's about ready to order a counterstrike. That's what we're recommending you do.
It's a bluff, John. Call it off.
No, it's not a bluff. It's real.
Hello, General Barringer. Stephen Falcon.
Mr. Falcon, you picked a hell of a day for a visit.
General, what you see on these screens up here is a fantasy, a computer-enhanced hallucination. Those blips are not real missiles. They're phantoms.
Jack, there's nothing to indicate a simulation at all. Everything's working perfectly.
But does it make any sense?
Does what make any sense?
That.
Look, I don't have time for a conversation right now.
General, are you prepared to destroy the enemy?
You betcha.
Do you think they know that?
I believe we've made that clear enough.
Then don't. Tell the president to ride out the attack.
Sir, they need a decision.
General, do you really believe that the enemy would attack without provocation, using so many missiles, bombers, and subs, so that we would have no choice but to totally annihilate them?
1 minute and 30 seconds to impact.
General, you are listening to a machine. Do the world a favor and don't act like one.
Yes, Mr. President.
1 minute and 10 seconds.
Sir, at this point in time, we cannot positively confirm the inbounds. We have reason to believe they may not exist. Yes, sir, that's affirmative.
Minutes after the hour of one, and this, the month of January, the year of our Lord 2012. Thank you for coming by, making a part of your 2012. You edited there.
Woo-hoo.
I just did the.
I'm living in the future.
Yeah, that's right.
Future.
Took the one thing and I mashed it into the other thing and I made a third thing altogether. All right. Well, there you go. In any event, thank you for joining us. It is the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Thank you for joining us on this Wednesday. Welcome to day 12 is what I meant to say there. And then the 2011 got mashed into the 2012 and it became a thing then.
You okay over there?
No. Just gonna try again. So the whole thing from the scratch. Why, hello, it is 34 minutes after the hour of one, and this is the month of January, the year of our Lord, 2011. Thank you for drawing near and joining us on this Wednesday, and welcome to day 12 from high atop the Milkpacking District in the heart of glorious, beautiful, illustrious Southeast Portland, Oregon, the home of all good things. This, my friends, is the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Thank you for joining us. It is 503-505-6964 if you would like to be part of the program today. 503-505-6964. 6964. We'd like to weigh in with your questions, comments, observations, ruminations, ponderings, musings of an ironic nature, whatever it is you might have on this Wednesday. That's how you can convey your thoughts or criticisms, observations, other musings, other ponderings, other explorations of your life on this planet. It can be conveyed to us at 503-505-6964. You can also email me like it's rick@rickemerson.com. That is rick@rickemerson.com. Dawn Taylor can be emailed. That is Dawn, D-A-W-N. Dawn@rickemerson.com. Skype is up and running, and it is Rick Emerson Show via Skype. Rick Emerson Show. Text box on the website and all that. It is Wednesday. Coming up today, we got your Clown Watch. Also, and I swear to God, just like yesterday, I said that the joy of Christmas, that I was at pains to note that it wasn't a rerun, that it was actually January 25th. I swear to you, it's not like you're not in some weird Groundhog Day thing where there's just a clown watch happening every day that's exactly the same. These are entirely separate clown watches.
There's clowns running amok everywhere.
It's like during Legion of News, we have the science on the march, and it's not so much science anymore as it is grease-painted freaks on the march. Coming to your city. So Clown Watch coming up today. Let's see what else we have. Corpse Watch, Clown Watch, Mr. Aaron Mesh from Willamette Week joining us about 25 minutes from now, around 2 o'clock or so. Today we'll also have another installment of Pop Culture Authority. This is a thing I really ought to put up some sort of a Twitter posting about this. I think I will, actually, because we'll do this sometime, I don't know, heading towards 2:30 or so. Today's Pop Culture Authority, we answer the magical, tantalizing question, what is up with that one Wachowski brother? Is he a lady now or what? So we'll get to that later on. Dawn Taylor will answer that question. Let's see what else. We have an update on yesterday's. There really is just so much already just going on. There's so many things racked up for today's program. It doesn't even seem possible we're going to get to it all. And in point of fact, certain things may have to be left behind, like weaker members of a gazelle herd. But we're going to try to get to all the important stuff. So yesterday, we had this email from the parents of Emerson Ava, a child who, let us never forget, was named after me, Rick Emerson. There was some unpleasantness, but we've got an exciting follow-up on that. So this came late last night. So we got an email from Emerson Ava's parents last evening. And so we'll get to that here in a second. I got this email from one of our fine listeners who had an experience a little bit of what I think Sam Adams once referred to as local color. Just one of those things that happens, you know, it's a little bit of unexpected texturing in your life. And it happened in a place where maybe it's less than expected, because it was on TriMet. So we'll get to that here in just a second. Let's see what else. Dawn Taylor's tracking the following headlines for you on this Wednesday.
A man goes on vacation with his love dolls. A Virginia lawmaker says sex offenders should be castrated. And President Obama wants us to win the future.
Okay. So we get all that coming up, plus an incredibly awkward series of photographs that inexplicably are still safe for work. I mean, I guess. Somebody asked me, I mentioned these to somebody I know the other day. I said, hey, I got these pictures I got to put up on the website. They're incredibly awkward and hilarious and weird, and a listener sent them to me. And the guy said, well, I listen at work. Are they safe for work? And I said, and even now I'm not really sure, actually. Do you know the pictures I'm talking about? I don't know if you got CC'd on this email or not. It was from listener Aaron in the OC.
I don't think so.
Okay. I really don't know if they're safe for work or not. There's no nudity. But they might be hard to explain. If somebody comes by, like if HR were just to sort of amble by your desk, as they do occasionally, because they're crafty like that, and they operate with frightening stealth, HR people, they'll sort of just, you look around. You know what they do? They sidle. You're just there at your desk, and you're trying to, like, listen to the show, trying to lead a fulfilling life of happiness and some sort of personal, you know, satisfaction. And then suddenly it's like, there you go, ah, Janice! You know, and it's like, there's somebody from HR. And then immediately you're just self-conscious about whatever. It doesn't matter. You could just be playing Angry Birds or something. And then you're worried, like, if you somehow, like, you've crossed the line of social and workplace propriety. Well, we'll get to those here in just a second.
Okay.
It seems like there was something else I wanted to say up top. Well, we should mention that today's program is brought to you by EH Vending. Find out more about them at ehvending.com. Today we will have Clue the Third. Clue number three in this week's Name That Snack contest. Don't forget that once Friday comes around, we give out Friday's Clue. If you are the first person to correctly identify the snack food by emailing that answer to snack, S-N-A-C-K, that is snack, at rickemerson.com, you win a huge, hearty, helping, heaping, or something like that, things from EH Vending. And you can find more about them at ehvending.com. Or you can contact Joshua or James. We'll have that information later on in the program. So clue number three coming up today as well. That may be all of the stuff that I had to get done sort of right here at the top of the show before we actually get into the meat of the program. Clown Watch, Corpse Watch, Aaron Mesh coming up later on. Pop Culture Authority. Don Taylor tracked those headlines for you. We mentioned
so
that we're going to talk about Emerson Ava. We're going to talk about TriMet. We got clue number three coming up. All of that. I think that's it.
There's so much to do.
Really, it's astounding. By the way, for somebody who asked, no, we do not have the video of Jimmy Buffett falling off a stage. Not to his doom, but to sort of... Did you say that he's expected to be out of commission for like a week or something?
Something like that, yeah.
He broke ribs or he shattered something?
He's in stable condition, so I think he bonked his head. He was unconscious for 10 or 15 minutes. It's too bad, because the video was very short. It was just taken with someone's camera phone. They just happened to have the camera phone up and was shooting Jimmy Buffett as he just walked off the edge of the stage. And it's one of those great videos because not only it's like, hey, everybody, I'm Jimmy Buffett, and then just he's gone. But also, you also get that great experience of hearing all of the people around
the thing
going, ah, oh my God, oh no. You know, just people freaking out because Jimmy Buffett, you know, Buffett's down, Buffett's down.
And plus, don't you think that if you're in a situation like that, you wonder if you are the lucky / unlucky soul who was there the night that Jimmy Buffett died. You know what I mean? Because it's like, yeah. And I'm not saying, well, clearly that wasn't the case, but I mean, you must think that, though, right? You're like, and then immediately you're thinking, like, oh my God, how can I find Harvey Levin? You know, you just like, if you can be the first guy to call local news, Jimmy Buffett just fell off the stage. He's dead, I think. No, I've got video of it right now. I'm going to upload it to you. That is the thing that will circle the globe instantly. So, and then you'd be sad, of course, too. But there's also the, how quickly can I contact, like, you know, how contact, like you Gawker or somebody with this. So I went to, you sent me the link to the film of Jimmy, to the video of Jimmy Buffett falling off the stage. And I went there and it said, this video is no longer available due to a copyright claim by Warner Brothers, which is interesting. I mean, I understand why they wouldn't necessarily want to advertise the fact that he's fallen off the stage. It's interesting that they exercise a copyright claim. Which, and I'm not saying they're not entitled to do that. Clearly, if it's video or any sort of recording of a performance of his, they do own it. Mm-hmm. But a copyright claim is normally something that you exercise over content that you plan to sell at some point.
Yeah, if you go to TMZ, they've actually put up a couple of they were smart, I guess, and realized that might happen, and so they just clipped out a couple of stills.
Really?
So you can see him stepping off the page and the stage, and then him midair.
All right, I'm going to go there. I'm going to go there right now. Live on the air, I'm typing things on my keyboard. All right, here we go. TMZ.
Oh, no, the video is there on TMZ. If you actually click, it says watch the video, and they have it on TMZ. So, yeah, it's pretty quick. It's like 1 second he's on the stage, the next second he's not.
Is that your computer that's making that sound, or is it mine?
No, it's mine. I'll make it.
All right. No, I'm just... I want to make sure I wasn't going... mental. Let's see. Oh, God. Did you ever scroll through TMZ? By the way, we'll get to the actual show here in a second. I swear to God, I'm not just going to sit here and, like, you know, surf the internet while everybody listens. But did you ever scroll through TMZ and you see headlines that you wish you hadn't seen, such as...
That's why I don't read TMZ, honestly.
Porn King says to Octo... And by the way, you're right out of the gate. You're back. Porn King says to Octomom. And that's not even the rest of the headline. Porn King says to Octomom, you had your money shot. Like, why does that headline exist, except to horrify me? Let's see. Scrolling. Oh, here we go. Oh, wow. Oh, man. Okay, so I'm looking at this video right now of Jimmy Buffett. He really is. It's a full-on plummet.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Well, there you go.
And he just walked off the edge of the stage like, hey, how you doing?
And it's like if you're him, you must think on the way down like, ah, crap, I'm in front of 20,000 people, you know, and then he just hit the ground. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Thank you for joining us. It looks like somebody's calling in. I have no idea what they would be calling about at this point in the program. So it's either somebody with a random observation, somebody who's calling to answer a question about something that I don't remember asking at this point, or did I say random observation?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody call, or it's a wrong number, or it is like somebody's child who's just gumming the keypad on the phone.
Or it is someone to correct something that we have said that they believe we are wrong.
Actually, you're right. That does seem like the most likely explanation. It's going to set the tone for the entire show, though. However this call goes, so shall go the rest of this broadcast.
Okay.
All right, let's all cross our fingers. All right. Hello, sir, madam, as the case may be, you're on the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Hi there.
It's none of the above. I just... I looked on the internet and said you interviewed Hugh Rowland. I just wondered if it was on the internet. Maybe I'm wrong.
Hello? I'm sorry. Wait, hello, hello. Hi, who is this, please?
This is Ralph Johnson. I'm from Florida.
Oh, hi, Ralph.
Hello, Ralph Johnson from Florida. How are you on this how are you on this fine Wednesday?
It's just ducky. I was on the thing and I saw that you interviewed Hugh Rowland. Did I get messed up?
No, you have it right. Just one second. Today's going to be awesome. All right, so let's back up for just one second. You're in Florida. What part of Florida are you in? I'm sorry, what was your name, sir?
St. Pete.
He's in St. Pete.
St. Petersburg.
Okay, and what? My wife was born in St. Petersburg. It's a fine place. What was your name, sir?
Ralph Johnson.
Ralph Johnson, St. Petersburg. Excellent.
Ralph Johnson. Yeah.
Okay. So here's the thing. So you were online. So you were at the website, and then you saw. How did you discover that we had interviewed Hugh Rowland from Ice Road Truckers?
I was looking at Ice Road Truckers, and it was on the thing that he had an interview at your thing, and I don't get that. And I just wondered if that interview was on the internet.
Yes, it is. So I'm going to point you in that direction now, sir. So if you got a pen, if you got something with which you can write.
Maybe I'll remember it. Just rattle it off to me. I probably won't remember it, but that's okay.
Okay.
Well, I mean, now I'm willing to be patient if you want to go track down a pencil or something, because that way you could.
I'm sitting out in my car. Yeah. I'll tell you what. I'll call you back tomorrow.
Okay.
Or whatever.
Okay.
Can you?
And then I'm sitting by a pencil. I have my wife write it down.
Because
I don't hear good, and I don't think.
Yeah. Can you call it at this same time tomorrow, sir?
I'll try. Yeah, I'll try.
Okay, that would be great. Ralph, you have a fantastic day.
Okay, my stepdaughter used to live in Washula.
Oh,
excellent. Fantastic. Nice. That's a fine place as well.
We have come to visit, and we went to Mount St. Helens and Mount Rainier and all those places like that, and loved it.
Yeah, it was...
I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just going to ask, did you have any cheese while you were there? There's a lot of cheese in the area, a lot of places that make cheese.
We went down to Kennebunk, they call it. Kennebunk or something?
Kennewick.
There's a cheese place down there.
Tillamook.
Tillamook. Yes, Tillamook.
We went to a cheese factory down there.
And was it good? Did you enjoy the cheese?
Yeah, I thought I liked it because I like cheese.
Well, excellent. Well, Ralph, I'm glad that you decided to call us. If you could call us again around the same time tomorrow, that would be fantastic.
Okay, I just want to. I'm a fan of Ice Road Truckers.
Yes.
And Grumpy Old Hugh is a character.
He's a great interview. The interview was really, really good. So if you want to call us tomorrow, I'll point you in the right direction, sir.
I know he wrote a book. I'm looking for the book he wrote. Too.
It's called On Thin Ice. Yes. All right. Thank you. We'll talk to you tomorrow,
On Thin
Ralph.
Ice, yeah.
All right. Thanks so much.
I got it. I got the library looking for it.
Okay.
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 Yeah. Hang in there. I'm sorry I didn't make your program.
That's okay. All right. Thanks, Ralph.
Okay. Later.
All right. This is going to be the best day ever. Oh, that's wonderful.
That was Ralph Johnson.
I could not have scripted that better. I could have sacrificed any number of small animals or other burnt offerings to my Lord and Savior, and he would not have given me a better first call for today's show.
He found us by looking on the thing.
He never specified what the thing was, actually. I'm unclear about, I mean, I know the internet, but or was it the internet? I mean, it must have been.
I gleaned from that, I believe that he was looking up something.
On the Discovery Channel?
Maybe, or the Ice Road Truckers page, and there was some mentioned somewhere.
I mean, I guess it's conceivable that it would have been like, I don't know, I guess it wouldn't have been on the television. They wouldn't have done like a whole like find out more at whatever. It would have probably been, maybe he watches the show sent him to the website had a, hey, Hugh was recently interviewed on.
Right.
And then a series of whatever, because we had him on Outlook Portland. Great interview, by the way. I wasn't quite sure whether the book was going to be good or not, but the book was actually really good as well. Oh my God, hold on a second. Let me just give me one second here.
You'll see if you have a copy of the book to give to Ralph.
I'm going to see if I have an autographed copy. I may have an autographed copy. Hey, Cheryl, if you're listening out there, do you know, and it may, I'll have to check this back shelf. We may have it up there. Do you know if we have a spare autographed copy of On Thin Ice to give to Ralph in St. Peter, St. Pete, Because that would just be...
That would be great.
How great would you feel about yourself and about us if we did that?
I would be happy. I would think that we had earned some points.
She says we should, in fact, have one leftover autographed copy of On Thin Ice. Done and done. All right. And here's the thing. I didn't want to say this on the air. I didn't want to freak him out. She just types, "We're awesome." No, it's true. It's a checkable fact. I didn't want to say this to him and freak him out. If he doesn't call tomorrow, I actually do have his number because it records the thing on the thing. So we might get in touch with him if he doesn't call back tomorrow. That was great. That's wonderful.
That is nice.
How did he find our number? Oh, because it's on our website.
It's on the website.
But it's not on the website for Outlook Portland. I wonder how Ralph just daisy-chained this entire strange series of events together.
I don't know, but good for him. Good for Ralph.
That's a good day to be us. It's a good day to be alive.
All right.
Ralph Johnson.
Of St. Pete. That's great. I'm going to ask my wife about something in St. Pete, like a local place, and then ask him if it's still there. Like, is that Shave Ice place still around? You know, or whatever. Like, is the tire store still on the corner of 12th and, you know, and Jasmine?
They still have good pancakes over at Spunky's Cafe.
Awesome. I feel like we could just go home now and the show is a win. All right.
That's all we needed, really.
All right, so there you go. Clown Watch, Corpse Watch, Aaron Mesh, Pop Culture Authority. We got those headlines coming up. I'll read the TriMet. I don't even know what we're going to get to now in this opening segment because we're so fundamentally changed as a program after our conversation with Ralph. Jimmy Buffett fell off a stage, right. Whatever. By the way, I only know this because you mentioned it real glancingly. Jimmy Buffett tripped and fell off a stage. Dawn Taylor tripped and fell on the floor because of her dog last night.
Yeah.
I don't know anything. Is that how you injured your foot?
Well, no. See, the thing is, I had my foot already hurt for some reason. I think I either had some... I don't know. You get that thing where something twists oddly in a foot or a wrist or something, and then eventually it'll go twang back into place and... And then you go, ow, that really hurt. I don't know what that was. I'm old. I can hurt myself just moving.
Right.
So that happened in my foot that I had a couple of days where my foot just hurt. And I kept telling Patrick, my foot hurts. And he'd say, go wash some dishes. And I go, no, I don't want to get up. My foot hurts. And he didn't really take me seriously at all until this morning when, and you have dogs, so you know that often dogs have this tendency to just decide that they're going to stand way too close to you.
Yeah.
Or right behind you.
Yeah, they get underfoot.
In this way. And I was getting ready for work, and I turned, and I stepped on the dog's foot and did that thing where I didn't want to hurt the dog, so my immediate reaction is just to go...
To pull back,
and then I'm off balance, and then I had this just blinding pain in my foot. That kind of pain where you, like, see stars, and everything goes white for a moment, and then you scream like a little girl. And Patrick's like, what happened? And I said, I almost stepped on the dog. And I hurt my foot. And he's like, oh, when did you hurt your foot? And I said, like 2 days ago. I've been saying it for 2 days. He said, so now you take seriously me hurting my foot? And his response, of course, is, how long did it take you to take seriously that I was dying?
Well, he does have a point there. Yeah. That is a fair response.
He uses that for everything right now.
Oh, you're going to be hearing that a lot. That's going to be Patrick's. That's going to be like in his personal hit parade.
I just say anything to him, and he goes, "You know, I almost died."
He'll just pull up his shirt and go, "What about these?" Just.
But yeah. So anyway, I don't know if something snapped back into place or what happened, but now my foot hurts really bad, just really horribly bad, and it's my right foot, so it's my driving foot. So, you know, when
Isn't that also your limping foot?
And it's also my limping foot. It's the foot with the bad knee. So I'm just sort of hobbling about like Quasimodo. And when I had to like put on the brake on the car, I'm just like in the car going, ow, 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 this hurts, ow.
It's good to know that if you're going to be driving home, it actually takes you a lot of effort and demonstrable pain to brake the car.
Yeah, yeah.
To actually slow your acceleration to your velocity at any point.
Nothing unsafe about that. So, yeah, so...
Here's the thing about the left side of your body is that you got your limp on and then you got like pins or something and then they've got, I don't know, part of you is just like spools and thread and gears and then it's like your foot doesn't work anymore. You can't break the car. To me, it's like your whole left leg is like that little...
My right leg, actually.
The whole right leg, it's like that... Your right leg is like that novelty tire in your trunk that you're supposed to use, like... But you can't go more than 4 miles an hour or drive it for more than 100 yards, like, after putting it on as a spare. That's kind of what that leg is for you.
It is.
All right. Well, sorry about that. So, if only you had some painkiller or some...
I know. If only I... Unfortunately, it hurts bad enough that if I took enough painkiller to actually make the pain stop...
You'd be an unsafe driver.
I'd be unsafe on the radio.
Okay.
I wouldn't be able to do my job here.
You probably just wouldn't be here. That's the thing. Like, I don't have any problem if you're actually here on, you know... If you're really not up to doing the job at a professional or competent level because of drugs, that's still fine. As I think Ralph has demonstrated... really, amusement can be found anywhere and in any number of ways. But
I did use an excuse to go back to bed for an hour this morning after posting to Facebook that I was thinking about, you know, would going back to bed because my foot hurt be like indulging my fat, whiny inner child way too much? And of course, everyone on Facebook is always very supportive, no matter what it is you ask.
No, have at it.
So he's like, oh, you should go back to bed. Go back. So I did. I went back to bed for an hour. Not that that really had anything to do with my foot hurting, but it was a good excuse.
The thing about saying that you're going back to bed because your foot is hurting, that's one of those things that no matter how real the pain is or how intense the agony might be, it just sounds like you're just being a big pussy about it.
Yeah, and I was. I was being a big pussy about it. I was also just, this new pill I'm taking just has me being weirdly either really super awake or weirdly tired, like, all the time. Like, last night, I came home last, I mentioned in Legion of News, I slept through the State of a Union address.
Oh, that's right.
We finished here, and about 4:45, I think it was, you went, go away. I don't want to talk to you anymore. Get out of here. Actually, I think what you said was,
I don't believe I said that. I said you're going to get caught in traffic if you don't leave sometime
soon.
But
I know what you meant. You meant, like, I want to be left alone. Stop talking to
me.
Okay,
that's not at all. That is a drastic revision of the text, and I might add an inaccurate interpretation of the event. I really honestly meant, I've taken you home before, that time that your car got towed away. I know how far away you live, and I know that traffic sucks. I would have no problem just saying, like, Rick needs some alone time now, so either you have to leave or I'm going to go in the kitchen. When I told you to leave, I didn't want you to lose track of time. I want to be very clear about this. I wouldn't be passive about it. I can be actively aggressive. I would just say, like, you got to leave now, right, baby, because Rick's tired of you. No, I just didn't want you to get caught in a bind on the way home.
And I drove home, and it was, actually, traffic was just fine, but I got home, and it was like, by the time I got home, I was just like, I need a nap. I'm so tired now. And I walked in the door, and it was, I think, 5:15. And Patrick was sitting there, and I said, hey, hi. And he's like, hey. I said, I'm sleeping now. And I just walked down the hall and closed the door. I went in the bedroom, and I laid down. And I didn't get up until after 8 o'clock. I just went out like a light. Just bam.
See, and I'm amazed that you can then get back to sleep, like, ever. Because if I did that, I would just be up until, I mean, I stay up pretty late anyway, but I would just be up till 7 a.m.
Well, I was up till about 1 after that, because Patrick went to bed at like about 11 or so, and I was like, nope, not going to happen. Sorry, see you later.
I think either you're built really strangely, or I am, or possibly some combination of the two. Because if I nap at all during the evening, it's like it just completely resets me, and I'm good for like another 9 hours, which is why I can't really do it. Because then it's like I just never, ever, ever get to sleep. I see that Aaron Mesh is on hold, so we'll get to him here in just 1 second. Before we do anything else, all right, so we'll read the Emerson Ava stuff here in a bit. I want to make sure we have time for that. Also, I get this great email about a guy who had an experience on a TriMet. I'm going to do two real brief things, and then we'll welcome Aaron Mesh from Willamette Week to the show. One, you may have seen this last night. So yesterday during the show, we were talking about Eric Snyder, who was at Sundance, which led to a discussion of Silent House and The Woman. We were talking about horror films, and then we were talking about the movie Dead Girl. And the movie Dead Girl, which you recommended to me about a year and a half ago, in which, and I think you noted it actually after the show, that I hadn't known you long enough at that point to realize that when you classified something as disturbing and unnerving and sort of deeply unsettling, that really, it's grading on a curve there, that I really should have taken that advice to heart. Like, it's the opposite of taking it with a grain of salt. I mean, I really should have weighted that with the appropriate sort of seriousness.
Yeah, you had no idea how high my tolerance is for being disturbed by things. So if I find something disturbing, it's really disturbing.
I just remember watching that movie Dead Girl and just thinking, oh no, they're not going to, oh my God, oh God! And then, but that was like in the first 12 minutes of the film, and then it was just like, it just became, I don't mean any offense by this. Dead Girl is, I mean, it's a brilliantly made movie, but it's so horrifying. It is so deeply, deeply troubling that because of that, I have not watched two of the other films that you have recommended to me. Grace is another movie you recommended. Okay. And then that movie Pontypool, is that what that's called?
Oh, you should.
Pointy Pont?
Yeah.
Pontypool. Whatever.
Yeah,
I don't even know.
Pontypool.
Pontypool. And
Pontypool,
you're like, you know,
Pontypool does not fall into the same category as those other two, though.
I don't see how it could, but still, I was just like, I should watch this movie, but wait a minute, Don Taylor recommended this. And then, like, you get the angel and the devil, like, she also recommended Dead Girl, but she knows movies, but it was horrifying, but she means well. And I just watch QVC instead. So we have our good friend Todd the Corpse, who says, good news, Dead Girl streams on Netflix. bad news. Dead Girl streams on Netflix and was watched by me. He says, maybe it's because I'm a Mac user, but I can't seem to find the emoticon for My Soul Just Died. I don't think I'll ever want to LH6 again. Thanks, Don. And then he signs it with some sort of... I think it's an emoticon that indicates that he is unsettled.
Yes.
So that's Todd. So, you know, look, here's the thing. My conscience is clear. There is no way that we could have implied any more strongly that that movie will it will permanently destroy parts of you. I mean, there will be sections of your brain and your soul and your ability to enjoy life and to taste the fruit of existence. You will never again be able to drink the nectar of your time on this earth. It's just not going to work. Let's see. Final thing, then we'll talk to Aaron Mesh. So, Don, you should go to, in fact, everybody, picture pages style, should play along at home. Go to rickemersonshow.com. Do you know who Stephanie Seymour is? She's a model and
yes,
quasi-actress.
Yeah, I know who she is.
Married to Axl Rose, I think, for a while. There was his girlfriend. She's in the video for November Rain. She's
yes.
the, no pun intended, the dead girl.
Oh, is this with her and her son?
What is up with that?
I think it may just be
hormones?
I think it may just be affection that is taken out of context.
Maybe. I'm not passing judgment. I'm just saying it is sort of weird, and I know that I'm, like, late to the party on this. Our listener Aaron sent these to me a while ago, and I'm just now getting a chance to sort of look at them.
Yeah, I think the fact that they're wearing bathing suits, I think, makes it seem creepier than it would be if they were dressed.
Also that he's tumescent at one point.
Is he really?
Oh, yeah. No, you haven't... Oh, you gotta... See, now you gotta look again.
I missed that part. I saw the pictures.
But these are safe for work, because I guess... That's what I said. I didn't know if they were safe for work or not, because he's clothed. But Stephanie Seymour, who was, again, a model and, you know, and a looker. So it's Stephanie Seymour and her teenage son. Okay, I don't know when the last... You got to look at these again, because there's no context that...
Okay.
There's no context that makes these not weird.
You have loaded those...
They're at Rick Emerson... I'm sorry, they're at rickemersonshow.com.
Oh, okay.
They're not in the gallery.
Okay.
Because I wanted to sort of to put them out, to keep them all in the context of this page, because you just go to rickemersonshow.com, and it's three different photos of model Stephanie Seymour and her son on the beach. I just present these, I guess, without further comment at this point, except to say that. Context schmunch next. There's no.
See, now you have me looking at this guy's.
Unit.
Crotch.
It's covered, by the way. Again, they're safe for work, but I mean, but it's not just the final photo where he appears to be engorged.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, look at all three of these. I mean, this. It's just. And she's adjusting, by the way. She looks to be adjusting his swimming trunks. Also, she's a model and he's a teenage boy, and he does appear to be more or less at attention.
Yeah, that last one is unfortunate.
Don't you agree that they're all...
Well, I think the other two, honestly, it could just be...
I don't think they're not French or anything.
No,
I mean...
I don't know.
They're Americans. Americans don't do this sort of thing. I mean, it'd be one thing if they were from the continent, but they're from California. I mean...
Well, those first two pictures are the exact same moment taken from two different angles. Those are not two separate photographs.
No, they are two separate photographs because her mouth is in a different position. Her mouth is closed in the first one, not in the second one. And let's overlook the fact that I examine these with a microscope.
But it's it's happening very close together. It's the same moment.
Okay, but picture number three, come on now.
Yeah.
She's adjusting like the drawstring on his swimming trunks. Also, she's a model. And he's sort of, you know,
now, granted, there
skyward.
There is another
person behind
bathing
her.
Suit clad woman behind her.
That's how it is with their family.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm just saying. I'm not saying I know what's going on here. I don't know. Maybe nothing's going on. It's just weird. It's odd.
Well, there is a video later, I guess.
Really?
Yeah.
Rick Emerson likes this.
Okay. Oh, no. I guess it's just a bunch of stills.
All right.
So never mind.
On that note, before we do anything else, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson radio program from Willamette Week, our good friend and screen editor, Mr. Aaron Mesh. Hello, sir. How are you on this fine Wednesday?
Good afternoon, Rick. I'm doing well.
Have you seen the Stephanie Seymour photographs of which I mentioned? Speak.
No.
All right. You really get a chance? You want to be weirded out a little bit? And I know you do. You ought to check them out. They're deeply... I won't even say they're unnerving. They're sort of hot at the same time, but that's just because she's in them, I think. Dama, you were just sort of furrowing your brow like you weren't quite sure what to make of them.
I really don't know. I mean, I don't know.
It's they do.
So when I Google the phrase Stephanie Seymour pictures, which I just have, mostly what I get is some people in bikinis.
Yeah. Now you're going to see. You'll know that it's the right photos if it's her in a sort of very, very pale pink bikini, and then it's her and a pale teenage boy in swimming trunks. And at one point, she's adjusting the drawstring on them while he appears to be thinking of linoleum.
Oh yeah, this is her son, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's all very, very odd. I mean, you know, it just seems a little strange. Maybe everybody does this. You unconsciously insert your own mother and yourself into these photographs, and then you go, ah, and then you just take wire wool to the inside of your head. What is going on in your world, sir? What is in the new issue of Willamette that everyone needs to know about?
Big week for us. We've got Drink Guide came out, our guide to what? 485 Portland bars. I don't know how many exactly. Probably more like 150.
And is this to the just the bars themselves, or to drink recommendations therein, or just an overview of the bar scene in general?
Oh, everything. We have individual reviews of bars. We give you a best drink at each one of those individual 150 bars, and then we do overviews of the best karaoke joints in town, the best pop and shoot basketball game joints in town. Oh goodness! The best places to eat bar food in town. Yeah, it is a cornucopia of booze.
Let me ask you this right now, just in your speaking, not as a representative of Willamette Week, but just as yourself, Aaron Mesh. If you had to single out a particular dive bar, sort of a low culture kind of joint at which to go get your drink on, what would that be?
I'm a big believer in the Commodore.
The Commodore, which is I'm thinking of a different place. I'm thinking of the What am I confusing? I'm confusing it with the Marathon or whatever that place on Burnside is.
They're not far away. The Commodore is about two blocks from the Marathon. It's just off of West Burnside and Goose Hollow, and it has a happy hour that starts at 7 a.m.
That's fantastic.
Wow.
Sort of a happy day, really.
Yeah, it's a happy morning because the happy hour goes from 7 a.m. to 11 a.m., and well whiskeys are $2.75 during that time.
I see. I love places like that. There's a place, I don't know, I forget what it's called, but there's a place there's a place on Powell. It's on Powell and like maybe, I don't know, like about 20th or so, and it's one of those places where they advertise up front that it's like, you know, they've got the, you know, like the 99-cent breakfast or something, but then in much bigger letters it just says that they do gladly start serving at some sort of reduced rate, you know, or whatever the legal way to put it is, at like 7 a.m. And you know that there's guys who work, you know, like the graveyard shift or overnight or something. But then you also know there's guys who are just sort of like, I just can't take another day of spreadsheets without stopping for a belt, you know. And it's like they got to have a Bloody Mary or two before they can go face the existential horror of their day. And I am glad that we as a city serve those people.
I think it speaks well to us.
It does. No, it really makes me proud to live here. So there's that, and then it's sort of the opposite end of the spectrum. There's your dive bar, and then there's kind of your upscale joint. What's a representative example you think of a place that is at the on the classy end of the scale?
I'll stick to the same neighborhood and say that my favorite classy joint in Portland is the Driftwood Room.
Now, that's the thing everybody references and mentions, but I don't think I've actually been there, or if I have, it's been quite a long
you
time.
You would love the Driftwood Room. It is
the Driftwood
delightful.
Room is in the. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh no, that's it. I'm just telling Rick that you would love the Driftwood Room. It's a place. If you imagine Tim Riley in a bar, that would be the place that he would be drinking.
Why have I not gone there? Where is it? Where's it at, Aaron? Where's it located?
It's in the lobby of the Hotel Deluxe.
Oh,
on 16th, I believe.
Okay, so I think I have been there actually, but I don't think I knew that that's what it was called. And I think has it been there?
It's a very low lighting and cocktails and obviously Driftwood kind of place.
And it's been there for a while, but it's like not like a brand new place or anything.
No, but it went through a restoration about 3 years ago, and since then it's kind of been like downtown Portland's canoodling bring your mistress bar.
Awesome. All right. So I'm going to go check that out. Excellent. Next time in the neighborhood, I'm going to go and that's the thing. You know, those places can be where they try to get that kind of vibe, as you just said, Don, the Tim Riley vibe, or you get, you know, the sort of where you're picturing Pete Campbell, you know, and his, you know,
yes,
trying to hammer out the Clarissa account. And those places are it really is either hit or miss. I mean, there's no middle ground. Those places either work really well or they just come off as really contrived and sort of tacky and, you know, in a bad way. But if they're done well, it's just one of the best places ever. Just, you know, whether you're going to drink or not, just to sort of be where the vibe is just fantastic. Excellent. Awesome.
Yeah, the vibe's really good and it's very dark. which is another good requirement for a bar, I think.
All right, so the drinking guide out in the and by the way, can we just have a moment of just acknowledgement of how great it is that it's like there's actually just effort and time and considerable energy being put into putting, you know, issuing a drinking guide for the city, which really is, that's the sort of thing. It's like my heart swells a size and a half when I think about that, about this town. What else is
we do our best to be of service. Also, this week we've got this is kind of important. We have launched a new website.
And what might that be, sir?
Well, it is still the same address, but it is a brand new design, brand new functionality. It's called wweek.com.
All right, I am.
And it is 100% all new.
I am
fancy, schmancy.
Headed there. Sometimes right now.
Does it smell minty fresh?
It does. I put my nose up close to the computer and just. It's just so refreshing.
As long as the search function is as efficient as ever, that's all I really care about.
The search function is more efficient than it used to be, and actually, the best part of it is there is now a WWeek.com RSS feed, so that if you're looking for news stories from Willamette Week, which, let me say, we break a lot of news and culture stories. my God, today is a shilling day for me, isn't it?
That's okay.
But we do break some of the best stories in town, and if you're looking to keep up on culture news, there is a wweek.com RSS feed for news and culture.
By the way, I'm looking at the site now. It really is seriously. It actually.
We have caught up to 1999.
It's a great looking site. It's not like I had any. Not like I was sitting around seething with anger about how it looked before. But it is. It actually looks great. And then people want to know that one of the very first things you see when you go to the front page of the new wweek.com is just a big shot of a Ween album cover. So well done on that front, sir.
Andy Kreese wrote an abbreviated history of Ween this week.
Excellent.
Everything you need to know.
I'm looking here, and I haven't seen the actual physical issue yet. Is the front cover of this week's issue of Willamette Week, is it actually just two dogs drinking out of a single huge cocktail glass with two straws?
As a matter of fact, it is.
That's fantastic. That is the way to our hearts in like 15 different ways. Awesome.
It's a whippet and a corgi.
Have you seen it?
No,
you're
I
gonna
haven't.
Go, it's they're drinking on one of those. I don't even know what the. Do you know what the actual drink is, or is it just made? Is it like just put together?
The actual drink is. Let me tell you the secrets of the trade. I'm pretty sure the actual drink was non-alcoholic.
But it's like a huge fishbowl-sized blue drink of some kind.
It's a massive tiki-looking drink,
yeah.
And another little secret that Rick Emerson listeners can enjoy is knowing how we got the dogs to pose for this shot. This is real. This is not photoshopped. This shot was created by placing large glops of peanut butter on the straws.
Of course, you know peanut butter. You can motivate a dog to cure cancer if you put enough peanut butter into the equation somehow.
It's true. If you could just find a way to put peanut butter inside brain tumors, dogs would cure that.
Awesome. Excellent. Fantastic.
And that is a very nice looking site.
It really is. It looks great. I am a fan. All right. I know that we kept you on hold for a while, and we're all so terribly busy, what with the news and the science and all.
The things happening everywhere in town. I have to drink.
I'll let you get back to the abuse of your liver. You can read him in print in Willamette Week or online at the brand new WWeek.com, Mr. Aaron Mesh. Hail him as your new god. All right. Thank you, sir. All right.
It's a pleasure.
Aaron Mesh, ladies and gentlemen. All right. There you go. That's fantastic. And end call. All right. He's no Ralph from St. Petersburg, but we like him just the same.
Who is, though, really?
All right. Let's see. Comments are just pouring in about two things right now. Ralph and Stephanie Seymour's son. That's all anybody's commenting on. All right. Let's see. Okay. This is a strange message. It just says, I sent Rick an explanation. Period. Her son is gay. Period. Now, that's a strangely constructed phrase in that it implies that the gayness is the explanation itself. You know?
I guess the explanation being that there couldn't be anything going on.
Well, also he's her son. So you think like that might be that might be sufficient. But I guess according to the evidentiary aspect of it indicates that, you know, maybe further explanation is required to satisfy people. So somebody says that he is, in fact, the gay. But then apparently there's some larger explanation about how the photographs came to exist and maybe who the other person is. So I'll try to dig that up. Just the phrase, I sent Rick an explanation, her son is gay, is just sort of great when you look at the photographs and then think that to yourself. We've got that I'll read at some point. I got the Emerson Ava thing that I'll get to. I got this TriMet email to read as well. It's just there's so much going on. I don't even know how we're going to keep track of it all.
It's chaos.
Pop culture authority coming up, or we talk about, speaking of just some all sorts of psychosocial sexual weirdness. Do you talk about the Wachowski brothers? Today's pop culture authority answers the question: what is up with that one Wachowski brother? Is he now a lady or what? Also, Clown Watch, Corpse Watch coming up. But we better just take a moment. Wait, longer moment.
Do you need a break?
And get some news done with Dawn Taylor at the news desk.
And now, from the news desk, this is Dawn Taylor.
A Canadian man has left his wife at home to travel the world with his six sex dolls for company. Dave Hockey, 57, insists that his wife doesn't mind his 16,000-pound bizarre trip of a lifetime, according to the Sun newspaper. So far, he's traveled with his fake girlfriends across Britain and America, taking in Stonehenge, the Grand Canyon, and Niagara Falls. The father of two said, "My wife understands it's a hobby. She isn't threatened by the dolls. She knows I'm not going to run off with an 80-pound piece of silicone shaped like a woman." One of his dolls is Bianca, a 2,000-pound silicone, 2,000 pounds as in money, but the silicone doll who was featured in the film Lars and the Real Girl. He has taken her skydiving, horseback riding, and for a ride on the back of a Harley-Davidson motorcycle.
Okay, so there's Lars and the Real Girl. That's what you just referenced. But Bianca, is not Bianca also the name of one of the dolls belonging to one of the guys in that documentary?
I think so, but I don't know. I don't think this is...
But is that the name of the model of the doll, in other words?
It may very well be,
so
yes.
It's like, this is your Bianca, sort of like how...
And you could rename it if you want. I did post I did send a photograph, so okay. You could put that up of him with one of his dolls. Here's the thing that's disturbing to me about this. Okay,
here's the thing that's disturbing.
Well, you know, we've talked about the thing where... you reach this point where you think you're so jaded that nothing can surprise you.
Right.
And then you think, I've seen everything and I've heard of everything. I was not shocked or perplexed in any way that this guy has six sex dolls. And they all have names, and they have fabulous outfits and wigs and stiletto heels. And he takes them on vacation. None of that really seemed that weird to me. What struck me is he has the life-size dolls, Jessica, Gabrielle, Jocelyn, Lily, Ruby, Jenny, and Bianca. He also has a number of smaller dolls. He has
to carry in his pocket.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. He has seven smaller dolls from a line called Teddy Babes. And if you Google Teddy Babe.
Wait, let me understand this. Are these, does Teddy Babe offer dolls of women? So they're anatomically, proportionally correct women, but they're the size of teddy bears.
They're smaller,
but they're
than
women.
The full-size ones.
Are they children or are they women?
They're women.
All right, hold on. Teddy Babes. All right, let's see. Teddy Babes. Is this just like it sounds?
Yeah.
Teddybabes.com.
Teddy Babes.
All right.
Orton, yeah.
I'm so glad we don't have an HR person here who's wondering what it is that I'm doing on the...
Yeah.
Now, this has just brought up an actual teddy bear store.
So, yeah.
Where
so
everything is in Comic Sans.
If you Google Teddy Babe or something. But anyway, the Teddy Babes are slightly smaller than the full-size real dolls.
All right. It's teddy-babes.com. Boy, that's going to be an awkward... If you put in the wrong hyphen or leave the wrong hyphen out, you're going to get a totally different kind of web experience. Plush girlfriends for boys too big for teddy bears.
Yeah, they're...
entering.
They're sex dolls, and they're...
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I saw this story on my first cup of coffee at like 8 o'clock this morning, and have had Teddy Babes burned into my head now all day. They are, yeah.
How? Okay, I just have to avert my eyes for a second and just sort of reset. Okay, sorry, not enough. Okay, so how big are these dolls?
That I don't know. You'd have to look on the site. They are. I think they can wear very petite women's clothing. So I think they are the size of a small woman or a large girl.
So for people who haven't had a chance to look at this yet, it's Teddy Babes, just like it sounds, but there's a hyphen. So Teddy hyphen, 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 hyphen. Please, for the love of God, hyphen. Teddy-babes.com. So these are basically, if you imagine the real doll or a sex doll, or maybe a very detailed mannequin like one might find in the window of a Spartacus, but imagine it made out of whatever they make Muppets out of.
Yeah.
So it And it looks like a real woman, sort of. I mean, you know, right. to whatever extent it can, but it's basically a plush doll.
It's a plush doll. And it is, of course, has an anatomical insert.
Ooh,
that is removable and washable.
I haven't gotten to that part yet.
Yeah,
I'm still on
you'll get to that when you get to it. Also, it has, they have joints that move, and they also have some skeletal, some wiring in their hands. For example,
so it can clutch things.
They can gesture, yes, and it says
like a remote control.
And it says it can clutch objects.
Also, that it has velvety kissable nipples.
Yes,
I swear to God, it says that right on the page. Oh, and yes. They're silky as well. I forgot to mention that.
Yeah,
I'm trying to figure out exactly how big they are. Let's see. Oh, let's read the fact, shall we?
Let's see.
How much did you look to see how much these cost?
I know that they did say that they were considerably less expensive than the real dolls. Like you could get
it's a relative statement.
You could get the entire collection, they said, for about the same price as a deluxe silicone doll.
How much would you imagine one of these Teddy Babes dolls goes for?
Well, if a real doll is about $6,000, then I'd say probably one of these is about a grand.
It is $1,200 plus shipping and handling. Credit card will not be billed until doll order is about to ship, Dawn. For multiple Love Doll orders, you can apparently get a discount. Question. Are Teddy Babes like latex love dolls or blow-up dolls? Yes and no, says the answer. Teddy Babes are plush adult toys. They can be used as sex dolls, but not necessarily. They can also be collected as adult soft sculpture art objects. See, they're art. Why do you hate art?
A Teddy Babe's rear is sexy, round, and squeezable, it says on the website.
What are her breasts like, says this question. This is so creepy. I can't even read this answer. Can I sleep with my Teddy Babe? Answer. Sure. That's mighty open-minded of them. Just as you would sleep with a teddy bear as a kid. Yes, just as you would sleep with a teddy bear as a kid.
Yeah.
If you were a serial killer. Will a teddy babe stand, quote, erect on its own? Not really. But given it's white, because if it stands up, then that's the first step towards thinking for itself and then running away. Given its wire skeleton, it can stand with some support. Hey, by the way, Dawn, support. You'll want to know this. Okay. It can also maintain itself in a kneeling position.
Well, that's important. They are 4 feet tall.
Less than 100 pounds, though.
Yeah. See. And by the way, they do have the plush removable washable insert. They do make a point on the website to tell you that the plush, for those who prefer a more, quote, orthodox sensation, in place of the plush insert, your Teddy Babe's entry point is able to accommodate many conventional silicone or latex inserts of comparable shape and size.
This is the last thing I'm going to read here, because it just becomes too unnerving otherwise. I swear to God, I'm not even going to read the answer to this, because the answer, I think, would be anticlimactic, so to speak. The final question right here in the fact is, Don, is the plush insert leak resistant? Okay, there you go. Hey, the end.
Yeah, I didn't know about those till this morning.
Let's work backward for a second. How is it that you came to be on this website? Because the story we just read is about a guy with like a latex real doll. Walk me through how you ended up at teddybabes.com this morning.
It happened that I woke up, I poured my coffee, I was looking at the internet. Someone had sent me some kind of a Twitter message, so I popped on Twitter and then started reading, you know, the folks that I read on Twitter. And one of my longtime LiveJournal friends, an author named Adam Nave, and he on his Twitter, he said he posted a link to this story, "Men Sex Dolls on Holiday." And so I'm like, well, I'm gleaning news for the day. I will look at this news.
It's research.
So I open it up and I'm like, oh, okay, all right, yeah. And then da da da, and then it gets to Teddy Babes, and there was a hot link to the Teddy Babes. So I thought, well, I'm interested in knowing what Teddy Babes are. Click. And now I do, and I can never unknow this.
And see, and now it's knowledge. Yeah, you wish you did not have in your head, and yet you do. Good God Almighty! This is so. I'm looking at this here. There's all kinds of just strangeness going on here. What an odd world this is. I mean, just like in every conceivable fashion, and in many fashions that are not conceivable.
When I hear these stories, though, like with this, he's a father of two. He says his wife understands his hobby. He has spent he must make a lot of money, whatever it is he does. He filmed his trip, by the way, from his home in Nova Scotia to San Diego over 7 weeks, traveling with his six
and so he
sex
lives
dolls.
In Nova Scotia. That's Canada, right?
Yeah.
So this couldn't be any of the guys in Britain. The only reason I go back to that documentary is because, if you remember, there was the guy who had been a member of the RAF. He was a member of the Royal Air Force or whatever, and that he had. And he was the guy in that documentary, which in America is called something else, but the one I saw, the BBC, the original name for it is Guys and Dolls. But he was the guy that I pegged as being the most sort of normal. And the one activity that they actually spent a lot of time showing him is he took the doll hang gliding. And so it just that – but I guess it's a big world, so there could be two different guys who take their real dolls hang gliding. But that guy was not only – he was a good-looking guy and he was successful and, again, had a lot of money.
Yeah.
And so I, you know, maybe that's, you know.
Well, and I posted the picture of this guy. He doesn't look like.
No,
you know,
I mean, he doesn't look like a serial killer.
But yeah, but he's spent a fortune on these things. He has six of the real dolls. And those things are like, you know, $10,000 a piece or something. He's got seven of these, which we know are $1,200 each. He buys them clothes. He buys them wigs. He has like 18 wigs so that he can dress them up. But he says, you know, his wife understands it's a hobby.
Does he say that he has a sexual relationship with them in the article?
He says, I purchased my first dolls in November 2006. They looked cute. I think the dolls are pretty. Any man is lying if he says they aren't.
Okay, but see that. Now, I don't know. I'm not. This is just my speculation here. Now, because you were wondering, well, what kind of guy spends like, you know, $9,000 or whatever on a bunch of, you know, silicone shaped like a lady. So again, this is just my speculation. Is it possible that he's gay and that this is a sort of a weird? And if he is married and in denial about being gay, and I'm not saying he is, but I'm just saying in some, you know, theoretically, could this be some weird way where it's like, you know, that gets tamped down inside and channeled, and it comes out in some strange alternate form, like that he buys a bunch of pretty dolls and dresses them up and does their hair and indulges in a lot of fashion, you know, pursuits with them and make, you know, and you know, and is sort of and is being and very concerned with the aesthetic of them.
That's always possible.
That would almost
a married
be...
father of two has sex dolls because he just likes to dress them up and he's secretly gay.
But not
it's
even
also
that...
possible that his wife is just some. Just, you know, kind of has resigned herself to this and goes, well, I mean, he's not sleeping with real women, so I guess it's okay.
But, I mean, doesn't it seem, of the two scenarios, that there is a guy who likes sex with women, who's married, who has two kids, but has also spent like $10,000 on just like humping some rubber? Or there is a guy who, again, whether it's because he's gay or whether he has some sort of other alternate sexuality or whatever, that it manifests itself. Because he doesn't actually say he has a sexual relationship with him, so maybe we keep saying they're sex dolls, but I mean, maybe he doesn't. Maybe he does channel his own feminine feelings or desires or whatever, and he projects them onto dolls. That seems almost like it's more likely. Because the other thing is just too weird. I mean, it's just too. The other thing supposes. Like so many, like a chain of things that are weird. Not only about him, but about his family.
A man with a wife and two kids being secretly gay and dressing up his $60,000 worth of dolls. That's less weird than a guy just having sex.
It is totally less weird. It is completely less weird because, like, we don't know guys who are closeted. I mean, so that exists. The only leap you have to make is that the closeted guy it comes out instead of actually having gay sex, it comes out in using these women as a proxy for behaviors that we would associate with a lot of gay men, like being very into fashion.
I think he just has sex with dolls.
No, but see, I'm the thing is, I don't dispute that there are guys who have sex with dolls. Like that, I can get with the idea. Like I understand that happens. That's why they sell them.
It's the fact that he has a harem of them.
Yeah, it's the fact that he has a harem of them, and not just the one. Like that he has also like the little like plushy doll kind, you know, the little like a teddy babe kind as well, and that he has a wife that is okay with it, and that he blows so much money on it. You know, because it's like
there are women who put up with a lot of crap.
But why would he not just like dump the wife? Is my thing. Like if that's the thing, if he's got money and if this is what he's into, like he wouldn't. Why would he still be married?
Because maybe this is what he's into sexually, but he actually genuinely loves his wife and enjoys the companionship. I mean, the fact is these women, these fake women can't, like, talk back to you or really, you know, have
hookers,
a conversation.
Hookers
with
don't
you
talk back to you. I mean, the idea that a guy just wants this because he wants a woman to listen to, you can get chicks who don't talk back.
I know, but
they're out there, Dawn, believe me.
But that's not what he wants. He wants dolls.
So confused. We have to Does it have his full name or something, or is it just like a man named Fred and it's like in quotes?
His name is Dave Hockey. He's 57.
All right. We have to find Dave Hockey. I need to know more about this. All right. So was that a watch of some kind, or was it just creepy in and of itself?
It was just creepy.
All right. Yeah, so there you go. We have a little breaking news here, by the way. Let's see if I can find my breaking news sound. What the hell did I improbably, I guess maybe not that improbably. I've replaced my breaking news sounder with a Connie Chung noise. I don't know why I did that. Give me just 1 second. I got to find my breaking news sounder. We'll play this. Hold on a second. And wait. Nah, I don't know where it is. I got nothing. We'll have to go back to this. Okay. We have some breaking news, ladies and gentlemen. So this, Justin, apparently, we referenced this yesterday. Apparently, Huckleberry the dog has been found alive, injured somehow. It's unclear exactly the nature of the injury. Doesn't sound as though it's life-threatening. But apparently, Huckleberry the dog, who was on the run with the guy whose name we had yesterday,
the shooty guy.
The shooty guy. So Huckleberry the dog has been found alive, injured, but alive. So that just in here.
Well, good.
All right. That's fantastic. All right.
Yay.
All right, let's see. And what else do we have? Well, we should just be done talking about the doll thing. You're listening to the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Thank you for joining us. Coming up, we still got your clown watch on the way. We got your corpse watch on the way. We have today's installment of Pop Culture Authority. We'll do here in just a bit. And don't forget, coming up later on this afternoon, that is at 4 p.m. Pacific time, you can hear Don Taylor over at Cascadia.fm for another exciting episode of Ham-Fisted Radio. So don't miss that. That is all coming up. We're going to take a little break, come back on the other side with more. You are listening to the Rick Emerson Cavalcade of Amusement. Stay right there, won't you please?
You're listening to the Emerson News Network.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Emerson News Network.
News.
Network.
I didn't know that. Hey, by the way, just so everybody can wish they didn't know it, apparently the teddy babes come in various personalities with names like Party Girl, Asian Temptress, and Girl Next Door. It is the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Never before have I more wanted Aaron Mesh to be in the studio during a segment. It's 503-505-6964 if you or any of your pals in St. Petersburg would like to call in today. Seriously, people are just... I'm getting, some emails here that just say... they just say nothing in huge letters. They just say, Ralph Johnson! With a lot of exclamation marks. Ralph Johnson is the new Leroy Jenkins, I believe. It's 503-505-6964. Still to come, we got your clown watch. Also, your corpse watch coming up. Plus, we'll have another installment of Pop Culture Authority. Today, we answer the question... there really is a theme developing. Here's the thing. It's like how Stephen King said that he felt that stories were sort of pre-existing, you know, relics, that the theme would emerge because the thing was already there in your subconscious sort of in toto, and you just didn't realize it until later, the second or third draft. He's like, that's when the theme that was there all along emerges from the mist and becomes sort of self-evident. Huh. So it is with our program. If you just think about the conversation we just had moments ago, and then listen to me say this, today's installment of Pop Culture Authority answers the question, what is up with that one Wachowski brother? Is he becoming a lady or what? So, you know, there you go. Alternate sexuality in its many forms, functions, and appearances today on the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Let's see what else. I got to read this email about Emerson Ava, but it seems inappropriate to do it immediately following the Teddy Dolls segment. So instead, I will buttress the two, or a word like that. I'll separate them with this email. Let's see. This comes to us from, I'm trying to find the name of the guy who sent this to us. So this email comes from, I believe his name is Owen. And so Owen said this, and I think I had meant to get to this yesterday, and I didn't get a chance. This is called, let's see, the subject line of this is A TriMet Story. And the TriMet Story reads thusly. Rick, let's see, I should get some music to sort of go along underneath this. You know what I need to have? I need to get the. I need to bring in that happy music that we have for Legion of News. The sort of the. What is that bed we have for Legion of News where it's just
with the barking dog?
Yeah, and it's just the
Did you get yourself some coffee during the break?
I did just now because I actually
it
left.
Smells wonderful.
I left home without my viso this morning. Mm. It's all very. It was all very disturbing when I got here and I realized that I didn't have any viso. And then I know. And but I can't. Here's the thing: is that I can't ask someone else for to share a beverage because it makes me seem like an addict, which that's actually like that is the least of my concerns because it's like that ship has sailed like so long ago.
Well, but also I assume it's also because the same reason I wouldn't ask you to share yours is that you know that I am also an addict as well. So I have like already calculated, you know, how many milligrams of caffeine I need.
And you might do it, but you would do so grudgingly and hatefully. And then you would just be angry and resentful about it for the rest of the day. You'd put a good face on it, but you would just be filled with loathing.
Emerson!
And I don't want to say. And plus, it's like, I wouldn't want somebody asking me to share my viso with them. You know what I mean? I mean, like, I'm not going to pretend to be a better person than I am. If somebody's, you share your viso with me? I mean, I guess if I really have to. I don't want to, though. But if you're going to guilt me into it, you son of a bitch, I guess I will. Is what I always think as I have to share, like, you know, whatever. So I will not do that. That is the thing where my vanity does actually outweigh whatever addictive behaviors I display. Because I don't want to put any of us in that awkward position. So I make a cup of coffee instead.
Well, I will say, if I have more than one can of Viso, I will give you one of my cans of Viso. If I have already opened it and it is like the only one I've got, then you're out of luck.
Why, thank you. I appreciate that. Subject line of this email is Tuesday. Rick, I felt that I needed to share a story. A TriMet story. I was on the bus heading to class today, sitting on the inside of a two-seat bench. A woman of size sat next to me, taking up her seat, half of my seat, and a not insignificant part of the aisle. A few minutes later, she stretched up and over to pull the cord for her stop. In doing so, in stretching, she... Here's a phrase that'll stay with you for a while. In reaching up to pull the cord to signal her stop, she unfurled one or more of her rolls. Once she'd rung the bell, she settled back into her normal position, the folds contracting once again. The problem with the folds contracting was that one of her rolls had entrapped my right hand, which had been sitting atop my bag. In a moment of horror, which we now all share, I realized what had occurred, and I stared down at the two outer fingers of my right hand, which had been swallowed by the woman's torso. I felt the spongy tissue engulfing my digits and began to panic. I also felt a hard, knobby thing on the back of my fingers, and, unsure whether my hand was caught beneath a breast or just a generic roll, didn't know if it was the corner of some sort of bra-like implement or perhaps a terrible scab of some kind. I knew I had to escape, Rick. The woman apparently was unaware of the situation, so I was on my own. Should I pull back quickly, like removing a Band-Aid, or slowly, hoping she wouldn't notice, avoiding further awkwardness? Those 3 seconds of confusion and indecision were the longest of my life, Rick. Then she solved the problem by standing up for her stop. The flaps that had constrained me expanding and allowing my covert escape. I washed my hands twice upon arriving at school. Best show ever, Owen. There you go.
I feel sorry for everyone in that story. I feel sorry for Owen. I feel sorry for this woman.
Yeah, there's no... That's the thing where there's...
I feel bad for everyone.
You know, as they say in the movie Rush, there's no one who gets away clean in that story at all. Anyway, all right. At the news desk, it's Don Taylor.
And now, from the news desk, this is Don Taylor.
Well, let's do yet another clown watch.
God damn. It's like there's never a moment of sanity on this program anymore. You remember that time when, like, we would occasionally just have a long stretch of conversation about things that weren't crazy or disturbing or unsettling?
No, I don't remember that.
Me either, I guess, but I like to think it existed. All right, everybody just... moment of cleansing and then... All right, here's a clown watch.
Oh!
Wednesday on the Rick Emerson radio program. Sorry. Oh, God, and now some... The damn phone is ringing again. God only knows what sort of creeping horror is going to be at the end of that. All right, I'm going to answer this phone, but I'm putting it on hold. If you're calling in right now, this is the sound of you on hold. We'll get to you as soon as the clown watch is done. Think about whether, you know, what you want to say is really worth saying and sharing. Here's Don Taylor with your clown watch.
A man wearing a monkey mask and another wearing a clown mask...
Stop.
...or clown makeup...
Stop.
...forced their way into a business in a robbery attempt.
Okay.
Around 1:50 Tuesday morning, the two men kicked in the locked front door to an unnamed business on Amarillo Boulevard in Amarillo, Texas. The business offers amusement-type slot machine games. 3 employees and 2 female patrons were in the building at the time of the robbery. 2 employees were in the front of the business when they realized someone was trying to kick in the door. Then they ran to the back where the 3rd employee was. The monkey and the clown were able to kick in the door.
The monkey and the clown.
The one wearing the clown makeup pointed a handgun at a female customer and asked where the workers were. When she did not reply, he asked again and then asked where the money was. She pointed to a counter area. The suspects then went behind the counter trying to find money, but it appears that no money was found. The 2 suspects then left the store. The man in the monkey mask is described as a white man, 5'7", about 170 pounds, with dark clothing. There was no information that the monkey-dressed man was armed. The other suspect in the clown mask or clown makeup is said to be a Hispanic man, about 5'9", and was seen carrying a handgun.
At a certain point, it's like your fear and your confusion commingle in this story as you hear the phrase the man in the monkey clown mask, or the man in the clown makeup waving the gun next to the monkey masked man.
Yeah.
You know, and it just starts to sound like some sort of weird. It becomes just like a strange sort of like a Dada-esque sort of word salad from the mind of Burroughs.
On the other hand, though, this is the kind of day when you work at a newspaper, you're actually enjoying your job a little because somebody got to actually write the headline, "Monkey and Clown Rob Local Business."
You know what this sounds like, though? It sounds like either A, an exciting new program coming to the Cartoon Network this fall that'll
Monkey
air.
Monkey and Clown.
Yeah. Or did I tell you about the
and monkey?
Did I tell you about the Christmas tradition that Laura and I have with our Christmas ornaments?
You did.
There's a yes. The first year there was a robot. The next year there was a flamingo, and so we decided that they fight crime together, and we sing this song: "Robot and Flamingo Fighting Crime, Doing Stuff." But then every year now, she buys, and I don't get to see it until Christmas. It's like a little extra. It's like a little surprise for me. She buys another ornament that we decide is paired with them, and so this year it was a skunk. And then I have to sort of augment the, and augmenting just means I go, robot and flamingo and skunk fighting crime, sort of like a It's Butters kind of a thing. And that's exactly what I'm hearing when you're like, monkey and clown robbing banks all over town, you know, just sort of.
Yeah, because flamingo and robot would have to go chasing after them. And
exactly.
Them.
That's what I'm saying. That's
a crazy monkey clown lair.
Right.
In an abandoned warehouse next to an old carnival.
Okay.
Full of bananas.
Story just makes me shift uncomfortably in my seat. Look over there. I should have seen the day coming when we would need a monkey and clown watch.
Monkey and clown.
Did they get caught?
No, they're still on the loose.
They're laminate. So it's like we could actually tomorrow we could need a monkey and clown Robin Banks causing crime watch.
I hope that they go on a spree.
Oh my God! Imagine if we worked at a cable news station and we were to create one of those doom doom ba bum. You know, Monkey Spree 2011, or you're like a sort of like...
Clown and Monkey Spree Day 5.
Oh, my God. What would it even be called, though?
I don't know.
I feel like I just tapped myself out with the Snowpocalypse thing. I don't know that I can ever come up with anything else. Monkey, Clown...
Monkey Clown.
Clown Town.
Clownky.
Clownky. Isn't that right, Clownky? Yes, it is!
I blame Ralph Johnson for how today has gone off the rails.
Damn you, Ralph Johnson. Damn you! Okay. I don't know where...
What happened to the person on the phone? Did they just give up?
They hung up. I said, I want you to think about this call before you actually come
on
the air.
And they did, apparently.
And they thought about it, and I swear to God, about 20 seconds later, they hung up. I just saw the call disconnected.
They're talking about monkeys
Jesus
and clowns.
God.
Screw this.
All right.
It might have been Ralph Johnson, and he called back, and he went, oh, my God, what have I done?
It's entirely possible. God damn. Here's what we should do. Let's do a couple more, and then I will read the email from Emerson Ava's parents, and then we'll at some point get today's pop culture authority about the Wachowski brothers. Don't forget, coming up later on, we got clue number three for this week's Name That Snack from E.H. Vending. Here is Don Taylor.
After a day after delivering his State of the Union address, President Obama hit the road to talk about the economic portion of Tuesday's speech. His first stop, a suburb in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Mr. Obama told the crowd that American workers will have to go all in order to win the future.
Hold on a second. I minimized this, and now I gotta bring it. I gotta find it again. It's I put it to the bottom.
Win
of
the future. Future.
Hold on. I swear to God, it's here somewhere. You have no idea how difficult it can sometimes be to wade through all of these things as I'm trying to find, like, the right variety of ludicrous sound effect. All right, what is this speech one or Obama
this
one?
This is Obama one.
All right. Any moment now.
We can go to head-to-head with workers in any country on earth. We've got to be more productive, more capable, more skilled than any workers on earth.
Okay.
Yeah, good luck with that. Obama, a Chicago Bears fan, acknowledged the Green Bay Packers' win over the Bears last Sunday, which propelled the Packers into the Super Bowl.
We'll get you next year. I'm just letting you know. Congratulations. In the spirit of sportsmanship, I wish you good luck in the Super Bowl.
It's got to be ever so slightly unnerving when the president is, you know, talking about just sports or whatever. It just says something like, we'll get you next year. Because then you think about some of the men who have occupied the Oval Office and the extreme seriousness with which they dealt with seemingly minor and petty issues. And you start to wonder if maybe that's not, you know, not a little bit of truth contained in that statement.
Well, and when the president says, we'll get you, that could mean all kinds of things,
yeah.
Really.
Well, and also because you know that I forget who was it made this observation. It was Ice-T. And he talked about during the whole cop killer controversy that happened in the early 90s. He said that he had this really, really terrifying moment when he was sitting at home watching TV, or, you know, somebody called him and said, like, oh, quick, Ice, turn on CNN. And George Bush was on TV. Bush 41 was on TV, and Bush was condemning the cop killer record. And Bush said, you know, he said, you know, and it doesn't help when Time Warner is putting out records that condone the killing of cops. And Ice-T said he had the most horrible moment when he realized, as he later put it, he said, if the president says your name out loud, there is a guy in the room somewhere who makes a note of that, and a file is opened on you. Like, no matter who you are, ally or enemy, if the president says your name, a guy writes down Taylor, Don, and then immediately they just open up some sort of chapter on you in the deep archives of the government. And there's probably somebody lurking in the shrubs outside your house for the next couple of days. So, all right.
Here's Obama told the crowd it's time America kicked into high gear when it comes to the world marketplace.
That was a serious thought.
Sorry, I've totally failed on this. Nah. I'm not even going to try to. I'm not even going to front like I've got that third cut. It's just the amount of time it would take me to find it is so disproportionate to my interest in it.
Let's talk about this instead. A couple were driving their Renault through southern Germany when the car's GPS system developed a fault and directed them to turn right. However, despite there being no road, the couple turned off the country lane anyway and plowed straight into a rural village church near the Austrian border.
That's awesome. Wait, is anybody dead?
No.
Awesome.
A police spokeswoman from the nearby town of Immenstadt described the couple as confused, yes. Adding, they didn't notice that the navigation system was faulty. The crash saw the car written off completely, but more importantly, it caused as much as $30,000 worth of repairs to the church, including damage to the building's foundations. A picture also fell off the wall.
You know, here's the thing. We have entered this strange place in American society and in just society in general where things that once...
What?
We just... Jabbing yourself in the hand with a ballpoint pen?
I'm just jabbing myself in the hand with a ballpoint pen to remind myself not to drive into churches. I don't want to talk about this. I just jabbed myself with a pen for no good reason.
No, but it wasn't accidental. It was like you put your hand out and then in the other hand you were clutching a ballpoint pen and then you just sort of consciously put the pen over your hand and went and jabbed it into the back.
You ever get some kind of goofy weird little thing on your skin or your hand or something and you take the pen with
like an ink spot?
Sure, why not? And you take the pen with the point.
You're using it as a scratching device.
No, you're using it as a thing because it goes over whatever the thing is, and then never mind. I was just making indents into my hand with a pen.
Well, now that's a different version of what you. But those two things both can't be true. You were either doing a mumbledy-peg game on the back of your hand, or you were quote putting the pen over a thing on the back of your hand like you do sometimes. Which, by the way, makes no sense at all to anyone. Here was my first guess. I thought that you were doing it as like a people will snap a rubber band as like either an aversion device or as a way to break some sort of mental pattern that they are in. Like PTSD, people will do that sometimes. I thought it was Dawn and the Nam. And then I thought, no, that's stupid. Why are you jabbing yourself in the back of your hand with your pen?
I've got this little red thing on the back of my hand.
Like right a mosquito
there.
Bite or something?
Kind of, yeah, like something like that. And I guess I just – and then the pen, when the point is in, it's like a perfectly circular little thing. And so I put it over top of the red thing and I pushed down to see if it would, I don't know, swell up or pop or do something.
Does the thing on the back of your hand, which looks a bit like a mosquito bite or a spider bite, is it itch?
No.
Has it been there forever?
It's been there for way too long, and I want it to go away.
But not like since birth?
No.
So it's a recent addition to your hand?
Yes. So I was just screwing with it.
So you decided that a red bump appeared on the back of your hand. You don't know its provenance or what caused it or what it might indicate. And so your solution is to take the extended tip of a ballpoint pen and to jam it into the thing.
No, to take – no, the pen –
oh, I'm sorry. The tip had been
retracted.
Right. Retracted.
So I'm putting the thing around so that the circular part goes around it.
If I had asked you before you started jabbing at this bump on the back of your hand with the tip of your – you know, with the end of your ballpoint pen, if I had asked you what the probable outcome was going to be, what would you have imagined?
I don't know. I thought maybe it would – I don't know. I don't know. I was just doing that.
You poked it with other things?
No.
Thumbtack?
No.
Push pin?
That's my first poking.
Coat hanger?
That was my first poking.
Okay, I'm just saying.
And yeah.
Did it have any effect on the thing?
No.
Okay.
None at all.
All right. So your hand is just slightly larger by like 0.5% than it used to be?
Yes.
Okay.
Something like that.
All right. There
nice.
I don't know what we were talking about just now. Okay. A couple drove into a church. Oh, here's what I was going to say.
Okay.
I was just going to make this observation that we have now reached this point in society where technology is actually so godlike and magical that people are now, in point of fact, engaging in things that we used to hear them hear stories of, but that I think were just urban legends. In other words, you would always hear the story about the guy who would just like set the cruise control and then walked into the back of the van to have a snooze and then hit a brick wall because he thought the cruise control drove the car. And it's like that was the thing that like everybody would repeat. My dad told me that story. It's like, yeah, so there was this guy one time. And I'm like, there is no guy. No guy did that. There's no guy who set the cruise control and then went to take a nap. That's stupid. You know, it's like even at the age of like 5, I knew that that was dumb. But this, I don't doubt for a second. Like, they just said, well, the magical box says to turn into that tree, you know, and they just do it. Because you don't really think that cruise control is going to steer the car. You do really think sometimes that the GPS knows everything about how to get everywhere. I mean, occasionally I will have that moment where I'm like, down a one-way street? Okay. Wrong direction? Doesn't matter. And then I actually stop and I catch myself. But your first instinct is to do whatever the glowing box tells you.
Yeah, and it has happened before. People have turned into the fronts of stores.
Right.
So, you know.
You know, why would they put it on there if it's not accurate?
Yeah, I've had the thing that you get. The thing that always baffles me is it's so precise, where it's like 600 feet, turn right. Now turn right. It's like, it knows. It is magical. But then you get in like sort of the general, you know, vicinity of where you're going, and it says, you are now at your destination. I'm looking around going, no, I'm not.
I'm really not.
I don't see it. I don't know where it is.
I don't know where it is. Well, and that is also the...
I'm now lost within 200 yards of the place I'm going as opposed to 5 miles away, but still, I'm still lost.
And that's the thing, too, where you... sometimes the GPS will get... It'll get confused, and do you do this? Do you feel sorry for the GPS when it gets confused? You kind of feel bad for it? Like, you sort of, you're like, I'll give you another chance. It's like when your vacuum cleaner can't quite pick up a string off the floor.
You have a nicer voice, I think, for your GPS, though, than I do. I just have this very snotty-sounding woman, so I don't ever feel sorry for her. I just get annoyed with her for not doing her job correctly.
Is that the only option? Do you use the GPS on your phone?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's probably not,
This app called Scobbler.
Scobbler.
This woman, and she's...
That's the worst name for something that would be helpful I've ever heard.
And it's a really good GPS. It works really, really well. But it's, you know, she has this voice that the only thing that I really don't like about her voice is if you go a way that the GPS doesn't want you to go, then she says, please make a U-turn immediately.
Does she actually?
And it just sounds really snotty.
Does she sound as though she's gotten really impatient with you?
Yes.
You're like, you know, thick American. What are you doing?
Please. And then she repeats it. Please make a U-turn immediately.
Interesting.
Like, God, shut up.
It is strange the way that people interact with their machines, and it must have something to do with the way, because it's like there's that, they load those things with so many different voices, and there must be some sort of science or some sort of reason why people pick a particular voice as the voice of their GPS. I mean, people scroll through, they do what I do, where they just listen to all of them, and then you finally hear one, and you go, well, that's the voice for me. Like I settled on Ken the Australian or whatever. I wanted the Asian chick, but then it's like I realized she actually does speak like Mandarin or something, and so it's totally pointless, because it's just a lot of like, you know, and it's... you're like,
God.
I think I'm supposed to back up. I can't quite tell. That's not what Mandarin actually sounds like.
No.
Anyway, what was my point? I don't know. The hell was that? Are we supposed to turn around now?
please make a U-turn now.
Please take the exit marked on your right. Okay.
Okay.
And now I've become Eddie Izzard as James Mason. You're listening to the Rick Emerson radio program. Thank you for joining us. We're just so sorry about everything. Again, I don't think that was a watch or anything. So let's do this. Let us do this. We'll do one more story.
Okay.
I'll read the email about Emerson Ava. Then we'll have today's installment of Pop Culture Authority. Then we'll take a little break and try to come back with just a bit more sanity on the other side of things. Here is Don Taylor.
Let's do the corpse watch.
So clearly the sanity is coming later, now. Yeah. All right, here's your corpse watch for... all right.
I'm digging up bones. I'm digging up bones. Exhuming things that's better left alone. I'm resurrecting memories of love that's dead and gone. Yet tonight I'm sitting alone, digging up bones.
Here is Don Taylor with your Corpse Watch for Wednesday on the Rick Emerson Radio Program.
The corpse of Italy's most beloved television entertainer has been stolen by grave robbers. Quiz show king Mike Bongiorno hosted some of the country's top game shows over a career spanning more than 50 years. At the peak of his powers in the 1970s, the charismatic showman drew in as many as 30 million viewers, around half of Italy's population, for Risceggiatutto, the Italian version of Jeopardy. Bongiorno was laid to rest in September 2009 after suffering a heart attack, with Italian Premier Silvio Berlusconi among 15,000 mourners who turned out to honor the 85-year-old. But police said today that his tomb, located on scenic Lake Maggiore, just north of Milan, had been broken into and the TV legend's coffin and remains had been stolen. Eva Zanicci, a veteran Italian singer and TV personality, described the theft as monstrous. Bongiorno was born in New York in 1924, but returned to his mother's native Turin, serving in World War II as a courier between the Allies and resistance fighters. For decades, he was the face of Italian game shows, his immortal catchphrase of Allegria! Cheers! Entering the country's TV lexicon, and his immense influence on popular culture prompting the author Umberto Eco to pen a 1963 essay entitled The Phenomenology of Mike Bongiorno.
I always wonder about things like this, and not that it happens a lot, but it happens enough that that I've wondered about it, I guess. The people who steal, like there was those guys where they were going to steal the Elvis's corpse. If you go to Graceland now, you know, they put in a huge cement slab over Elvis's, his burial plot or whatever.
Yeah.
Because it's you can actually sort of access it. Like, it's not easy, but at the time anyway, you could just scale a fence, and then there was like a security guard or something. But it wasn't hidden from view, and it wasn't like in a mausoleum or whatever. You could just – and they caught some guys with like a jackhammer who were just sort of like, you know, well, we're just going to take him home with us. And they were just – and they were like on their way to steal Elvis's body and just like spirit it back to their dorm or whatever, you know, just like prop it up for a series of zany photographs. And so then they had to come in and they put huge, like hundreds of pounds of concrete over it. So now you can't possibly jackhammer down to where it is. But it is the thing, like with this guy, it's like this is sort of like the sex doll thing and the hang gliding and the plushy F doll, where you just go like, why? But at the same time, you realize there is no answer. There's no way I'm ever going to figure out why they wanted to steal the body of an Italian game show host.
Well, Italy is kind of crazy. He was in the 1950s. He hosted a version of the $64,000 question. He hosted for years the Italian version of Jeopardy. And he later became a fixture on Silvio Berlusconi's private TV network. I don't understand what involves a private TV network, but
that just goes into his bathroom or something.
Silvio Berlusconi had his own, and he hosted La Ruota della Fortuna, Wheel of Fortune, on Silvio Berlusconi's private TV network. And so there is some speculation that the robbing of his corpse is is inspired by hostility towards Berlusconi, who, of course, is in the middle of this huge prostitution scandal. Former singer and showgirl Umbretta Colley, who's now a member of Mr. Berlusconi's People of Freedom Party, said, "I hope it wasn't done to spite the premier." Further media reports have suggested the body could have been stolen to secure a huge ransom from Bongiorno's shaken relatives.
So this is... Okay. So... Berlusconi had his own private network on which this guy, this game show host, did something or other. Like, yeah. Maybe just stood there and went, "Hello, you're looking younger than ever," or whatever. You know, or just, you know. And so the theory is that now, because Berlusconi has fallen into disfavor with some sections of his, you know, some of his countrymen, that they are spiting him. So it would be like if somebody really wanted to jack me up and they just went and bulldozed up the body of Johnny Olson.
Yeah.
Because, like, I used to watch that guy a lot or something.
Yeah.
And then I would be like, now they've struck at my core.
Well, actually, it would be more like if Tim Riley died and somebody hated you and then went and stole Tim Riley's corpse to get back at you.
Don't ever say that. Don't ever say that. That's the most horrible thought. And it's horrible because it's also hilarious, and then it makes it seem disrespectful. Also because he's not dead. Plus, you know, you're giving somebody the idea. That's the thing. That's really – I wanted to say that first, but I didn't want to say that about the audience, but I'm going to say that about the audience. You know you're giving someone the idea of going and stealing Tim Riley's body someday, many, many, many decades from now, undoubtedly, because he'll outlive us all. But you know that that is going in somebody's, like, Franklin Covey sort of a – all right. I mean, like, people steal. I told you about that guy. I went to a guy's house, and he would like had stuff from the radio station that he was just hanging up. And I did you steal that? Yeah. And then he just like continued to deal cards. All right. Okay. You know what's going to happen too? Here's what's going to happen: is that this will like third hand somehow get to Tim, and then I'm going to get an email from Tim or like a voicemail saying, "I'm not really sure what to make of this. Someone apparently was speculating about the theft of my corpse. Do you know anything about this? Please call me back, Tim." You know, and whatever. And then I'm going to be – and there's no possible way to explain it without sounding like a lunatic. All right. I bet nobody tuning in today thought that they would hear a discussion of stealing Tim Riley's corpse. Tim Riley not dead, by the way, just in case you're listening with half
or,
an ear.
We or of plushy sex Muppets.
Tim Riley's also not a plushy sex Muppet. Just to be very clear about all of these things right now. Again, it's like we're just actively working to make sure that I can never transition to this email about Emerson Ava. But screw it. I'm just going to do it anyway.
Okay.
All right. Was that the corpse watch? Are
it
we
is.
Done?
That
Are
was
we
it.
Finished? There's no – they no. haven't found the body.
No.
Okay.
No. No, there were – the remains of a banker in Italy were stolen 10 years ago under similar circumstances, and the men demanded ransom. But they were caught before they got the money. But so, yeah. So, well, I guess we'll just have to keep an eye on this story and find out later.
Do you suppose they were really just there? They were irritated that they couldn't – like, they wanted new episodes of the show, and they just weren't forthcoming. And they thought, well, damn it, we just have to film them ourselves. Where's that guy? And so now they're just at home doing a sort of, you know, like a crude marionette show of, "I'm sorry, you won't get to go to the bonus round." And then his jaw falls off.
I hope so.
Okay. Here's your Corpse Watch for Wednesday on the Rick Emerson Radio Program.
I'm digging up bones. I'm digging up bones. Exhuming things that's better left alone. I'm resurrecting memories of love that's dead and gone. Yet tonight I'm sitting alone.
I have this occasional fantasy world in which Randy Travis is sort of just surfing across the internet or driving across the country or something, and he just hears his song playing, and then he hears the use to which it's been put, and then he realizes that his song, not unlike the body of this game show in Italy, has been defiled in a horrible and irrevocable fashion. You're listening to the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Thank you for joining us today. We do appreciate the fact that you're. We do appreciate the fact that you are listening despite your better judgment sometimes. It's 503-505-6964. Still to come. We got the installment of Pop Culture Authority. We'll get to that right if we get to this this email. Today's Pop Culture Authority answers the question, what is up with that one Wachowski brother? Did he become a lady or what? Later on, we'll also get today's third clue, or this week's third clue anyway. We'll get that today for the EH Vending Contest. That is on the way. Don't forget, coming up this afternoon, 4 p.m. Pacific time, you can hear Don Taylor over at Cascadia.fm doing another installment of Ham-Fisted Radio, along with Mr. Bobby Fatboy Roberts. Topics lined up for today, or is it, are you guys still letting the audience sort of steer the ship,
yeah,
as it were?
Yeah, we still let the audience steer the ship.
And, all right.
It'll be hilarious
if you,
no matter what.
If you want to hear that today, you can do it live, 4 p.m. at Cascadia.fm, or later on you can download it at hamfistedradio.com. If you heard yesterday's Rick Emerson radio show, you heard us read a letter from... from our listeners, and I don't think we're just being sort of circumspect about this, only because it's just so weird. There's so many concentric layers of weird and great in this story. So a couple of our listeners named their child after me when she was born a couple of years ago. And if you heard me yesterday, you heard the sort of entire description of this. But Emerson Ava is their daughter. And so yesterday we had gotten an email from them saying that regrettably they felt they had to cancel the subscription to the show, even though they've been listening for a long, long time. And again, named a baby after me because the child, now a couple years old, has started to... either surprisingly or not, depending on your take on things, had started to say shut up a lot, and apparently was using some profanity around the house as well. And they felt, with some justification, that I, Rick Emerson, was being a deleterious influence on my namesake. So, So we talked about it yesterday, and I think Cheryl actually followed up with an email to them saying, sorry that we were discussing your email at such length, and by definition, discussing your child on the show. Hope that was okay. Because, you know, Cheryl always wants to make sure that we haven't stepped over the line into some sort of horrible awkwardness, because we almost always have. Here's the email we got last night. This is the follow-up from Emerson Ava's parents. Rick, after listening to today's show, we just can't in good conscience cancel our subscription.
Woohoo!
It has been our habit to listen to your show during supper so we can laugh together as a family. There are iPods and headphones in the house so we can always listen, although listening together will have to be limited to times when precious Emerson Ava is fast asleep. What you guys do is... This is the email now. It's not me saying this, although I wholeheartedly endorse and agree with these statements. What you guys do is brilliant, and supporting your program has always been a way of telling the man, no, the man, we will not be made to consume your mass-produced cookie-cutter crap that you call entertainment. Read Clear Channel, Alpha Broadcasting, etc. Best show ever. And then they say, here is this month's picture of Emerson Ava. And a little photograph. And going to be a charming and delightful young lady. So it goes. And I have to say, really, all kidding aside, it wasn't like... yesterday, when we were reading the email and talking about this, it wasn't like the whole thing was just designed to guilt them into keeping their subscription. I'm happy that that was one of the outcomes. That was the result. That warms my heart as well. That really wasn't why we were reading it, though. It was just reading it because it was hilarious. I am, however, glad to hear that they're not going to be denied the precious value of our entertainment, that the glorious light of the Rick Emerson Show will continue to beam into their household, and that, and through the use of headphones, the child will, maybe not mouth off quite so much. I mean, there is a part of me that is just, there's a part of me that, likes the idea that I'm just instilling just a tiny little slice of anarchy into the next generation. But I understand that that might be less pleasant if you're on the receiving end of it, you know?
Yeah, the day when the three-year-old just looks at mom and yells, "Shut your whore mouth, woman!" And it's like, and where does she get these things?
I, of course, am not implying that Emerson Ava would ever say, "Shut your whore mouth." That's a thing that Don Taylor is suggesting, probably accurately, but all the same. Anyway, so there you go. There's that. All right. So thank you for it. It does actually mean quite a lot that you are continuing your subscription and your support of the Rick Emerson Show, and also the whole naming the baby thing. Thank you. All right. Are you ready with your pop culture authority?
I am indeed.
All right. We'll do this. We'll take a little break. We'll come back on the other side with today's clue for Name That Snack, brought to you by EH Vending. That is all on the way. Without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, please prepare yourselves for today's installment of Pop Culture Authority right here on the Rick Emerson radio program, beginning in just moments.
You're listening to the Emerson News Network.
What's the deal with that Wachowski brother? Is he a lady?
From the Emerson News Network, this is Pop Culture Authority.
I'm Dawn Taylor. Culturally, we're absurdly schizophrenic when it comes to our attitude towards personal information. On the one hand, we're intensely curious about other people's lives, especially if we suspect something titillating lurks beneath the covers. On the other hand, the constant barrage of overhonesty from friends, strangers, and online acquaintances has us throwing up our hands and protesting that we don't really need all the sordid details. Then, on the great big glaring neon third hand, there's our endless thirst for information on the perversities and dalliances of the rich and famous. In this regard, there's no such thing as TMI, and the odder the rumor, the more we dig for information, tirelessly debating which rumors are indeed fact. And nothing fuels speculation like a lack of firm evidence. Filmmakers Andy and Larry Wachowski have never been much for interviews, even when fans of The Matrix began to hotly spread the rumor that Larry was a transvestite, and later to have had sexual reassignment surgery. Get a handful of geeks in a room together and toss out the subject, and no one's really sure. Is Larry Wachowski now a she? Is it just high heels and lipstick, or did he go the whole nine yards and get, well, his plumbing replumbed? Shortly after Matrix Reloaded was released, the rumor mill churned out that Larry was often seen in public dressed as a woman, using the name Lana Wachowski. This was in addition to discussion of his relationship with a professional dominatrix named Ilsa Strix, which began before and continued after Larry's divorce from his wife in 2002. Lending credence to the cross-dressing reports was this statement by film writer David Poland, included in a column he published in May of 2003. "Every indication I have says Larry Wachowski is now in the process of changing his sex, dressing in public like a woman, taking female hormones, and yes, having a sex change operation." This was further supported by a March 2006 San Francisco Chronicle article on transgender people, which repeated that Larry Wachowski has changed his sex and is now living as Lana Wachowski. Then a 2006 story in Rolling Stone titled "The Mystery of Larry Wachowski" flat out confirmed that Wachowski was a crossdresser, was in a relationship with a dominatrix, and was considering a sex change. That the Wachowskis dropped the word brothers from their professional moniker would also seem to support the contention, but it's not the last word on the matter. In a 2007 interview, the Wachowskis' producer, Joel Silver, said that the rumors concerning Larry's sex change were, quote, all untrue, later explaining, "They just don't do interviews, so people make things up." Similar statements were made to Fox News by crew members working on Speed Racer, with one employee saying that on the call sheets, it still says Larry. On the other hand, there are the tweets from Arianna Huffington that she made during a set visit in December 2009 when the Wachowskis were shooting screen tests for a project that never came to fruition. Huffington posted photos of herself with the filmmakers and their parents and referred to Larry, who wore a pink and black outfit and hot pink dreadlocks, as Lana Wachowski. So is Larry now Lana? It would seem so, yes. But has Lana Wachowski taken the irrevocable step of swapping out her parts to become a fully functional woman? That, it would seem, is between her and her doctor. And really, none of our business. Not that that will stop us from talking about it.
The final word on the only knowledge that matters. Pop Culture Authority from the Emerson News Network.
You're listening to the Emerson News Network.
Rick Emerson Radio Program. Thank you for joining us. It's 503-505-6964. In just a moment, we'll have clue number three for this week's E.H. Vending Name That Snack contest. We'll get to that here in just a second. Ah, good God Almighty. Does it feel like we've just been... does it feel like we've been running a marathon of some kind today?
Today has been wacky, Rick Emerson. Just wacky.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm not complaining. It just seems like, first of all, it seems like we just started the show, but we've actually been doing... I know we did Legion of News at noon, but we've been doing this show today for almost 2 hours already.
I know.
God almighty.
And yesterday felt long to me. Yesterday seemed to just go on and on and on forever.
You mean in the good way, right?
In the good way. I had a good time, but it was sort of... There was this point where I was just like, my God, this has been a long day.
Came a point where you were just thinking of England.
Yes.
Okay. by the way, if you go to rickemerson.com/pictures and you go to visual aids for January 26th, 2011, you can see, well, first of all, you can see the picture. So this is Larry slash, what is it, Lana?
Lana.
Lana Witkowski with Ariana Huffington. Okay, first of all, this picture is full of weirdness and most of it not coming from Lana Wachowski.
It's Lana Wachowski's parents. And Ariana Huffington.
Okay, Ariana Huffington, who looks as though she's been made into a smallish porcelain doll of herself.
Well, she was there to shoot some kind of a screen test for something they were working on.
Okay, so that's why she looks so...
And it was about some kind of dystopian future sort of thing. So I think she was made up for a screen test.
But is that... how do I put this? Was she made up below the neck as well? Because that's the... She has not always been this...
buxom?
Yes, top heavy. Yeah. She hasn't... She's got like little bird legs, like the rest of her's all tiny and toothpicky, and then she's much larger on top. That's recent, I think.
I don't know.
Or for the screen test, maybe.
It might have been for the screen test.
Or maybe, you know, maybe she just, you know, was trying to figure out how to, maybe it was like a Brewster's Millions thing where she had to spend half of Michael Huffington's money on something, you know, and it's like, I don't know, I will get no boobs, you know, and then they just, can I tell you, I have her autograph.
somebody, she was in town a while back, and somebody knows that I have a little bit of a thing for her. And it was that creepy thing where it's like, I wasn't able to be there, but they had her, like, autograph a thing for me, like, in absentia. You know, like, dear creepy Rick guy who I have never met and who apparently has, you know, prurient thoughts about me. Blah, blah, blah. This acknowledges that I have heard your name. I've spoken out loud, Ryan Huffington. And then I took it home and I hung it in front of my, hung it right in my line of sight at home so I could occasionally just look up while working and just think of her and smile. I shouldn't have said that out loud. Also, so this is Larry Wachowski's parents.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's Larry, Larry Wachowski, who, by the way, and I think a lot of guys, and maybe a few women, but I think mostly guys have these moments where you look and you go, that's a cute girl. Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, God, what am I? And then you think.
She looks cute.
But that's what I'm saying. And then if you're me, see, I've come to this particular point in my life and in this particular road, of thought on this subject where you go, it's a cute girl. Oh, my God, it's a guy. Oh, my, what? But then you get to the bottom of the page and you finally go,
yeah,
well, hey, it's good looking. Doesn't matter. I mean, it's like I like to think that I have become very, you know, sort of non-judgmental in a way about that. You know, it's I think it really is just sort of it just comes down to what the survey says. And you know what? Survey says cute. So that's you know, I don't need to see the math. You are listening to the
there's a picture of them in 2004 at Comic-Con.
Now, see,
she's dorky cute.
I'm telling you right now, if you were just at Comic-Con, and really, let's be, especially if you were at Comic-Con and you saw this girl on the left and she's got like the sort of bandana on her head and the glasses and the whatever, you would say, like, hey, who's the cute girl? And it'd say, it's Larry Wachowski, dude. And then all of your friends would snicker, and it would be twittered about everywhere, like on planet Earth. But I am especially fond of her in this photograph with the pink dreadlocks.
Yeah, she's adorable.
Really? There's just no other way to put it.
Yeah.
Okay, I should just close this window here because it's going to lead to a whole lot. It's a whole other avenue of conversation we have time for. did I ever tell you about this friend of mine? I'll have to do it tomorrow. I don't even. This triggers a whole story that I don't have time to talk about. We should just take one moment to talk about our good friends at Squires Electric. Did I mention? Have I told you this? This is in no way related to the story that I was going to tell that has to do with Larry Wachowski becoming a lady.
Okay.
Did I tell you that Joe Squires is going to be in the studio Friday?
And he's all man, I tell
you. We have confirmed that. No, he and I have actually weaved it, not the him being a man part. That needs no confirmation, ladies.
No.
He will actually be in the studio this Friday. We've been playing sort of hit or miss, in terms of scheduling. He's actually going to be joining at the studio Friday. He's going to come in around, I don't know, like 1:15 or so and just, he'll just kind of hang out until he realizes how fundamentally boring it is to watch people do a radio program. And then he'll probably go, I thought this was more exciting. And then he'll leave.
Yeah. He has listened to the show, right? He knows what he's in for.
Long-time listener.
Okay, so.
Yeah. Long-time listener, zero-time caller, I believe. Okay. So,
don't have to, like, worry about, you know.
No, he actually, well, you know, I think we've mentioned that. I don't know if, well, it doesn't matter. If it sounds like I'm very scattered right now, it's just because I'm actually trying to get like Reader's Digest condensed versions of every. I'm turning the last 50 minutes of the show into like an Uncle John's bathroom reader because I realize you have to leave here in a short while.
Oh,
so I'm trying to get it all done. So I'm actually just. This is one of those things where I'm just giving you like the 140 character version of all my thoughts. So I say, ba 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 ba. Yes. And then I go for it.
Okay.
Squires Electric can be found out more about at squireselectric.com, or you can get them a phone call if you like. It's 503.
You find them on the thing.
252-1609. That's exactly what you do. 503-252-1609. That's how you discover more about Squires Electric. They are licensed, bonded, and insured electrical installers, contractors, supervisors, and repair folk. So they can come to your home, they can come to your business, and they can make sure that everything is working properly. If you're going to have something upgraded or installed, you're going to have something revamped, if you want to make sure it's all up to code, as they say, you want to make sure you pass the inspection for your restaurant, your business, or if you're just going to be adding a different room under your house, or you just need to make sure that your office intercom system is working correctly. So it's like, you know, you don't want to push a thing to talk to the accounting department and then something blows up in the parking lot. You make sure that it's taken care of and that it's wired correctly the first time. And if it needs to be repaired, that the repairs are done right the first time, because otherwise it becomes just like an endless chain of hellish events where a guy's coming out, he's fixing something, he knocks something over, suddenly you're eyeball deep in debt, the thing still isn't working, and you're living in a clapboard shack somewhere. And nobody wants that. And you can avoid the whole thing, probably, I think, by just contacting Squires Electric the first time you have wiring difficulties. 503-252-1609 or squireselectric.com. That is where you contact that fine business. Joe Squires, yes, so he'll be sitting in the studio On Friday. Well, at some point, we've been teasing this forever. We will have to have him tell the story of how he worked in a nuclear sub, and they did teach him, I swear to God, to repair, like, if there was a steam leak from the nuclear reactor, how to fix it with, he said, I think, a belt and a mattress. And I don't think I've embellished that in my own head. I think that is actually how he described it to me. So, and I don't think he was screwing with me. I think that's the thing they actually taught him. So we'll have him talk about that. That is coming up Friday. Also on Friday, Mr. Big Jim Willig is going to be here with another installment of Humor Me Comedy 101. The subject of this Friday's Humor Me Comedy 101 will be Mr. Drew Carey. So that is Friday on this very fine radio program. Before we do the third clue for Name That Snack for this week, anything else we need to get done? Any other bits of business? Anything we absolutely swore we were going to do? And we didn't get to it. Because we've gone to a lot. We Clown Watch, Corpse Watch, Aaron Mesh, Stephanie Seymour Pictures, Pop Culture Authority,
Teddy
Emerson.
Teddy Babes,
the Emerson Ava email, the disturbing TriMet email.
We got a lot. You know, some days it seems like we don't get much done. Today, it was just jam-packed full of entertainment.
Bender's a genius.
32 cents
That's
for all of that.
It seems like really, it seems like we ought to, at some point just, you know.
It's crazy.
We ought to investigate whether there's some sort of a space-time rift that opens, because it does not seem as though 32 cents should be capable of purchasing, this kind of entertainment. Yeah. The sheer bulk, you know what it is? This show is like the dark matter of entertainment. You know, it is just so densely and minutely packed as to defy description.
And you add to that the fact that we do Legion of News just out of the kindness of our heart.
That's right.
Really. You know, we don't get any money for that. It's like, you know, honestly, we're losing money on this.
Really, that's it. I mean, honestly, we're going to come steal your China. That's it. That's what it comes down to.
It's like we're paying you.
We now prepare to end today's program with this clue number three for today's installment of the Name That Snack EH Vending contest. So we've been giving away once per week the last couple of weeks, ideally once per week, although people, I think we actually gave away three the first week we did this. But once per week, we've been giving away a large gift bag of items from EH Vending. You can find out more about EH Vending by going to ehvending.com or calling 360-816-1853 for Josh or 503-897-8204 for James. And so here's the way we play the game. We have one snack food item that we select every week. Each day we give away one, or we give one clue for it. We describe it with one clue each weekday. And then Friday, once we've given out Friday's clue, if you were the first person to correctly identify the snack food via email at snack@rickemerson.com, S-N-A-C-K, snack@rickemerson.com. If you're the first person to correctly identify the snack at snack@rickemerson.com on Friday, then you will win one of the gift bags. If you are a business owner, you are a decider, you are a shot caller at your business, and you want to make sure that the vending machines you got there continue to work and they function, and that you are dealing with a company that's going to stock them, it's going to answer your calls, are going to come out and service them when it's needed, and maybe you feel like you're paying too much for that right now, you're not getting calls back from the company, or they are telling you you're too small, or you just feel like you just need to change it up and see what else is out there in terms of deals. Because everybody's tightening their belts a little bit. And you want to contact EH Vending. And you can do that at ehvending.com. ehvending.com. Let me say this about the box of snacks that they gave us that is lurking in the corner of the studio. First of all, there are only two things in that box. There's a lot of corn nuts. So there's bags of corn nuts, and then there's those loose, weird cheese fries thing from Burger King. Because last night I was here doing a little work, and there was a package of Mother's Raisin cookies, and I really enjoy those Mother's cookies, and some people do not. I had the last package of raisin oatmeal cookies from Mother's, which were good, not nearly as good as the ginger cookie that you yourself presented to me yesterday,
yes,
which I split with my wife because it was so massive as to there's no way I could have eaten it all. Size of a tire.
And by the way, just for those of you who are fans of the Big Ass Sandwiches, yes, there are brand new cookies at Big Ass Sandwiches now. Nice, fresh, both triple chocolate and the ginger
cookies. They were really, really good.
So go pick yourself up some.
Actually, in addition to the Mother's cookies, you know what else I took out of the box last night and I took it home? And you claim that nobody likes these. It's those granola bars from Nature's. Or Nature's Way or whatever they're called.
You know, I kind of like them. I look at them. I was looking at how much of the stuff in there was just, you know, delicious empty calories, and I just went, granola bars.
Well, it's not really a health food.
I know.
I mean, that's the thing, is you just have to free your mind. It's like when you gamble, you have to just sort of get like, this is entertainment. Maybe I win, maybe I don't, but I'm not expecting to make my money back. You can't look at the granola bar and go like, this is going to, you know, this will be enough to sustain me.
It's like the Quaker Oats package, like big boxes of granola that they sell, is like one of the most delicious things on the planet, and it has so much more fat and sugar and calories than normal cereal. But you can go, but it's good
it's
for
granola.
Me because it's granola.
It's so good. Okay, I'm going to write it down because we got to end the show here in a second. But we're going to talk about that granola tomorrow because it's one of the best things on earth. It's proof that God loves us. Anyway, so yeah, I took him this the oats and dark chocolate, and it was actually
it's the mmm that makes it extra delicious.
It's so good. It was just so unbelievably good. In any event, so whether you need a vending machine, soda machine, whether you need coffee service, whether you need those large sort of glass door refrigeration units for your deli, or you know, if you just want to see how they compare price wise to your current vending provider, you can contact them at ehvending.com or 360-816-1853. Here is clue number three. This is Wednesday's clue for Name That Snack. They're baked, not fried. That is clue number
three. That changes everything.
It really does. It's a whole new game. It's not about to get real. The realness has been gotten. So they're baked, not fried. That is Wednesday's clue for E.H. Vending's Name That Snack. There you go. All right. Ham-Fisted Radio coming up 4 o'clock at Cascadia.fm. Listen to Don Taylor and Bobby Fatboy Roberts. You can also get it at hamfistedradio.com. The website. We want to thank our guests today, including Mr. Aaron Mesh from Willamette Week. Read him in print to Willamette Week or online at wweek.com. After a brief musical interlude, we'll have an encore of the day's Legion of News episode, followed by an encore of this very fine radio program. The Rick Emerson Radio Program comes to you live each and every weekday from the studios of the Emerson News Network, high above the Milk Packing District in glorious Southeast Portland, Oregon. At the news desk, Don Taylor, Advanced Technology and Magic, provided by Mr. Thomas Gill, Executive Producer Bruce Agler, Chief of Staff is Cheryl Kanakoa. And thank you to the parents of Emerson Ava for sending another charming photo and a great email and continuing their subscription. Also naming their child after me and being representative of why it is truly the best audience ever. So we thank you all for listening. The Rick Emerson Show is, of course, made possible by a generous grant from each and every one of you. So thank you. And please do spread the word, won't you? It is Wednesday, January 26th, 2011. And that is The Frequency. Kenneth, have a fantastic day. Be safe. See you all tomorrow. Bye now.
You're listening to the Emerson News Network.
I want you to remember all the things that I said. I want you to remember you're not better off dead. You only have a minute to go back in the line, to bring it on home and make up your mind.